7. We've been spending the last 2 or 3 weeks looking at Jesus' words there in regards to the command and the promise. I think this should wrap things up as we look at this portion. And we'll read the text together and get it one more time. Verse 7 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? But if he ask bread, will he give him a serpent? He then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" And so we've looked at this promise in multiple kind of different layers. We've seen the context is the need that the whole Sermon on the Mount presents. The need that we have to be what God calls us to be. And this is the solution, to ask him and come to him and everybody. Then we've seen the surety of the promise. It shall be given. When you go to prayer, you ought to believe in your heart that God will hear you and that God's going to answer you. He's going to respond to your request. If you do not believe that, you will not pray very much. This becomes a foundational truth. You've got to let these words build faith in your heart. And then we looked at last time the importance of persistence. The aspect of seeking and asking and seeking and knocking is implied in that, and also in the verb tenses that we've got to continually go to the Lord and continue to ask and continue to pray. So now we've come to this aspect here where we look towards the last part of this and verses 9 through 11. And the key word is, how much more shall your Father? This is what we have seen throughout the entirety of Jesus' first discourse. When it came back to teaching how to pray, he taught them to address God as our Father. And 17 times in these 3 chapters, he has told us to address, or he has addressed God as our Father. And so this becomes a really important hinge on understanding everything that we're going to see. And he's going to take an argument here from the lesser to the greater, which is actually something that he's done pretty frequently. Remember when we were looking at chapter 6? He says, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. He's taking something of a smaller level, and he says, all right, let's extrapolate that to the infinite degree who God is. Now he's taking a picture for us of ourselves and looking at that. And so part of this is centering our trust in the very character of God. God loves us as a father loves children. And that's something that we ought to, every one of us in some aspect, have been able to see. Even, I can't necessarily speak across the board, we have different experiences, but God, in his providence, did not believe that our varying relationships with our fathers, and that probably ranges from some that are really close to some that are not close at all, but that does not hinder us from understanding the truth of what he's trying to say. That you have, someone asks of a father, the father is going to do what is best for the son or the daughter. And this is just a beautiful thing to think about, because this happens on a regular basis for me as a father. And I have the wonderful opportunity, when I hear that, I can tell you, my heart, if I at all possible, my default response to them, that's just where I'm wired at. I want to answer their requests. Now, the smaller they get, the less likely sometimes the request can be. But there's an aspect that says, I want to say yes unless something comes up. And I'm kind of in that mentality that says, unless I see something wrong with it, I just say yes. I want to give it to them. That's my heart. It's interesting that the Bible says in verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. Jesus Christ probably made one of the most scathing remarks about all of humanity in a passing, general way. He didn't say, you do evil things. He says, you are evil. You're corrupt in your nature. You're bent, you're twisted, you're messed up, you're broken, you're far away from what God wants you to be. And yet even us in our human nature, in our fallen evil state, God who is pure. All he wants is our benefit. All he has ever done towards us is the exercise of that love. And everything that we enjoy, embody, drink in, breathe, experience, see, is the love of God towards us. We have to understand the character of God. He never turns off his love. Now, we may not experience the fellowship of that love and the delight of that love. We might have to get the correcting rod of that love, but it's always love. It never changes. He's the sun that's beaming, and it's constant. Okay, some clouds get in the way, but that's our fault. His love is constant. He is always good. There's an aspect to which all of these prayer requests come and are found within this special relationship, a child with his father. And that helps us. If you understand the relationship of the child to his father, you're going to understand what prayer is all about. If you look up at your heavenly father and you don't look at him as someone who's glaring down at you or someone who's holding you accountable in some idea because of our sin, but he's a father and he loves us. He's provided an atonement for us. He's provided shed blood. He's given us redemption. He wants to forgive us. He wants us to walk in obedience with him. But his heart towards us is open. He's thrown open the veil for us so we can enter in and have access in prayer at any time to ask. That also helps us understand this area of prayer. When he says, ask and it shall be given, we ought to understand that any child who says, I'm sorry, Dad, but I'm done. I'm done with the Father's house. I'm done with your love. I'm done with having to do with your rules. I'm adios, Dad. I'm on my way. I'm going to make my own way in the world. They don't have the relationship to ask and receive. Now, very often, the prodigal son type call, you can ask and you'll receive repentance, you turn back to the Lord. There's that reality that says you just can't rush out over who God is in this relationship. You can't disobey the Father. But what does God ask of us? All you have to do is be his child. As a child, just trust him. Look to him in your need and say, God, I need you. And in your weakness, in your obedience, it's not something that we say, oh, I'll never attain to a place where God's, my prayers will be answered. I'll live a perfect life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, just live in submission. One author put it, he requires nothing more and will accept nothing less. Just walk. What's really important here is he's going to give you good gifts to his children. That's the promise of this question. And in this we know that God knows the difference between a stone and a piece of brick. He knows the difference between a fish and a serpent. Can we agree on that? Am I overstating the text? He knows the difference. So we have to allow God to decide what is good. the wise one who loves me. And I'm getting on my knees, and sometimes I'm asking for a fish. He's wanting to give it to me, but I need to keep on praying and see it through. Sometimes I'm getting on my knees, and I'm in perfect, true-hearted request, and I'm asking for a serpent. And I don't even, come on, Dad, I just want that pet snake. That pet cobra, please, Dad. Oh, I love it so much. How many times? I had several times this child crying. Woo! Please, Dad, will you leave me home? I'm like, no. No, you're in no state to even rationally think about this. You're clouded about everything. Everything's a cloudy day. Everything's trying to, but I'm not going to let you quit. And I'm going to make you persevere. And 2 days from now, or 2 years from now, you will be thankful that I kept firm, because I know what you're asking is really not good for you. There's an aspect in which when we come to the Lord, there is a submission to the Lord that says, God, whatever you need. We ought to ask specifically. Don't just leave a melee of prayer requests. Lord, I'm your will be done. Pray those words. But ask for what God lays on your heart. Ask Him to show you what His will is so you can pray for it. Because if all you pray for is His will to be done, when it's done, how are you know to thank Him for when it is done? How do you know He heard your prayers? Ask specifically. And ask God to lead you. Direct you and guide you and build you up. There are times when we're praying, and we're praying submissively, and you pray over and over for something, and God begins to direct your heart for a slightly different, or for a different goal, or you realize the answer is not going to come in the way that you hoped, and you begin to adjust that request. But you never become bitter in the child of God, because you're trusting. You say, God, when you give, I know this is bread. This is a fish. And trust in life. There's an aspect to which I like these ask, seek, knock. And I don't know for sure if this is what the Lord means, but if there was meant to be some distinction between them, asking seems to reference the gifts. You're asking God for the good things. And when He talks about God, He will give good things to them that ask. You're asking for specific good things. But when you seek, seeking in the Scriptures is for the person of God. And oftentimes what we need to do is go beyond the asking for the goodness and the gifts and begin to seek and ask for the giver of the gifts. Not only do you seek the giver, but then you come to the very home and dwelling place, the place of the dwelling idea in the Scripture. Knocking here, I don't think it's out on the gate. I think the idea is knocking at the door, the residence of God. And you are seeking entrance, not just because you want to find Him in a circumstance, but that you want to have communion with Him. Thank the Lord, He's knocking outside of our door. Any man will open up and says, I will come into Him and suffer. That's the idea of fellowship. I think there's an aspect when you Matthew chapter 7 with Luke chapter 11, he goes to the very same thing, and at the very end of verse chapter 11, verse 13, it says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? How many of you know what He replaces? He's doing good things in Matthew, and Luke, He replaces with something else. He gives what? Give the Holy Spirit to them to ask. Interesting that the Holy Spirit is not brought up in that passage until that moment. The greatest gift you can ask for is the person of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who communicates everything of the Father and everything of the Son to us. He applies. begin to pray for things, and then we, not that we don't have specifics, we begin to desire more. Not that we stop asking for specific requests, but our heart's desire gravitates and grows to the very person of God himself, and to the spiritual requirements they have for us, and the transformation of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The last thought I want to leave with is, I've mentioned this before, this is not just an invitation. This is a threefold command from the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask, and it shall be given. You know, there's a person in the Old Testament who God came to him and told him, read over that and say, well, he was a lucky guy. Pretty lucky for God to come to him and tell him to ask. I wish God would do that for me. Really? Really? His prayer is right in line with what God wants. He said, God, man, I'm so small. I can't. You give me a big job. Look how great these people are that you brought out. I can't fulfill this role. I can't even barely go in and out and lead them. I gotta stand up here and be the judge of all these people. Just please give me a good. In fact, he just asked, said, Lord, give me a listening ear. So wisdom and channel is just listening to God. God, let me listen to you and have the wisdom to know what's right and wrong and to fulfill my responsibility. Right? He's basically saying, God, help me do your will. Would you place me my responsibility here? And God said, Oh, that's a winner right there. That rang the bell of God's heart. And he said, I'm going to answer that in so much more. Now God has come to his people just like he came to Solomon. You know, God's called Solomon. He said, I don't remember the exact pronunciation of the name. He called him a Jaburo or something. If you guys remember that name, come shout it out for me. But we don't call Solomon that very much, but that was God's special name. In the beloved. You're in the sphere of his loving one. And he says, just like he commanded his son, he said, ask of me and I'll give you healing. You ask and I'll give. God has opened that pathway, that command is to each of our hearts. And really, the question is not necessarily will we trust him, though that's a part of it. But the question is not just will we trust, or will we obey. Will we take up the command and say, Lord, I'm coming not on my own merits. I'm coming not of my own kahunas, that I kind of worked this up and I think I can do this. I'm only coming because you told me. I'm here in your presence. Lead me your will because I want to ask. And I want to receive. May God help us. I believe that God wants to do that all through this church. All through this community, God began to answer our requests. It fills me with such joy when you're walking with him and you know, we did this over here. Oh, we haven't answered that one. I know we will. But, and you know, that really does help you think about when he says no, and maybe the request is answered a slightly different way. And you see other requests being answered, just, you don't want to do that.